This week on It's So Bad, we're talking about a game where you are a, am I reading this right, a taxi driver?
A taxi driver.
A taxi driver.
Like the movie?
Like the movie.
Yeah, Taxi Driver the movie / video game.
On It's So Bad. So we're back here with Steve and also Matt. How are you guys doing? We're back for another one.
Yep.
Hey,
Mike.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, everywhere you can find podcasts. It's on Podbean if you want to find it there. I guess people go there. But it's So Bad. You can also subscribe to us on Twitter. It's at It's So Bad Pod. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com for your comments or requests. But we are adding a new game to our endless list of games. The game is Crazy Taxi, which originally came out for the arcades and Dreamcast back in 2000. 1999 is when the arcade actually came out. But one of the, what I think is one of the best Dreamcast games. I don't know what that's saying about the Dreamcast's library, but
How long was the Dreamcast, like,
a thing?
A thing, yeah.
5 years?
I don't know. It was like 3 years.
Oh, not even that long.
Yeah, because it came out in 9/9/99.
Oh, yeah.
September 9th, 1999. I think it was not a thing by the time the PlayStation 2 came out.
It had a very short window.
Yes.
I played my Dreamcast pretty long, but it was supported by fighting games.
I did not play my Dreamcast very long, but I played Shenmue, and I was like, oh my god, this system is not probably for me, unfortunately. Because I appreciate what Shenmue did, but yeah. I had a Dreamcast back in the day, though. I definitely did. Yeah.
I still have my Dreamcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You do. What do you play on there these days?
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I've played that on there.
Power Stone.
Oh, you have Power Stone?
Yeah.
That game goes for a lot of money these days. We should have played that over your house when we were over there.
We can.
Yeah, Power Stone's good. It's like Smash Brothers before Smash Brothers.
It's got
a lot
of really good... It's got Capcom versus SNK. Guru was on it.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur, obviously.
Yeah. This game was developed by... Or Crazy Taxi developed by Hitmaker, published by Sega. Just some context here, because it came out in 2000. You had Crazy Taxi out in January. In December, Gran Turismo 2. You had November, Donkey Kong 64. Imagine the leap from Donkey Kong 64 to Crazy Taxi. Sonic Adventure came out in October, which was kind of the graphics demonstration for the Dreamcast.
I remember playing that game.
It was Sonic Adventure and Soul Calibur were like the launch games, right?
No, because Sonic Adventure came out in October.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what it launched with.
Right.
It didn't launch with Seaman, did it?
I played Seaman in college, actually.
You did? Did you yell at Seaman? Did you make him die?
Leonard Nimoy? We didn't make him die. I was still impressed, though. You know, it was 10 years later at that point. But it was an interesting game.
Yes, interesting is a good word for that game.
Is it even a game? It's more of like a...
life simulator? Yeah. Like a Tamagotchi type thing?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was interesting. Do you have any history with the Dreamcast at all?
My history of the Dreamcast is that every Christmas I would go over to my cousin's house, and he would always have a new system or the latest system that was out. And one year it was obviously the Dreamcast. We played a ton of Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
That was about it. Oh, and Crazy Taxi, but I played Crazy Taxi on PlayStation later.
Super Monkey Ball was also like kind of a big Dreamcast game, I feel like.
It was?
Wasn't it?
I thought it was a GameCube game.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, maybe
Dreamcast
I'm mistaken.
Had the controller that had like the pod that you could plug in that had another screen on it.
The VMUs.
The VMU.
Yeah. I remember that about it.
Yes, I had one of those as well, and it had a little controller on the VMU.
Yep. I ended up switching. They did come out with a like a 4 VMU in 1.
Really?
Yeah, I ended up using. It didn't have a screen on it, but you could.
For more memory, because nobody used the screen for anything, really.
Right, yeah.
But they had the...
Code Veronica is another game, actually, that I played a bunch of. Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Yeah, I played that game, too. But it had the controller was super awkward because it had the cord that came out the bottom, and you had to staple it to the top and a little hook for it at the top. I still think it feels like a really good controller, and I really like the triggers because those are nice,
right.
But they're, like, big. They're almost like GameCube triggers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the Dreamcast was a weird system. But yeah, so we had Crazy Taxi came out in January. Resident Evil Code Veronica came out that February of 2000. Star Wars Episode One Pod Racer came out that April.
We keep talking about it. It's coming up.
Perfect Dark came out in May, and Space Channel 5, which was another big Dreamcast game, came out in June.
I've got Dreamcast on the brain. It also, was that not the first system to connect to the internet with Phantasy Star Online?
Oh, that is a great question. I had Phantasy Star Online too as well.
I think that was, that was the first game that...
The first big one. So right. There was like stuff like X-Band was for the Genesis and for the Super Nintendo,
okay.
Which is what you could plug in the modem. Japan, the NES, I believe, you could connect to the internet. So it's not technically the first, mm-hmm. but I think it was the first one that had it natively, maybe? Or did you have to like plug in something that didn't come with it out of the box?
There was
an adapter, an Ethernet jack on it. Yes, and I think you could buy an Ethernet jack, so... Yeah. Yeah, Dreamcast was interesting. I think this is one of the first Dreamcast exclusive initially games that we're going to talk about on this list. So cool. I used to play a lot of the 2K series on Dreamcast because those Sega sports games were really good. Yeah. But yes, back to Crazy Taxi. What's interesting about this game and kind of why I wanted to add it to this list is it's got. I wouldn't say it's an enduring legacy, but it's just a very addictive game.
Yeah.
It's also one of the first games that was like an open world driving game.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, Grand Theft Auto 3 came out in 2001, which was a year after this game, or 2 years after if you're counting the arcade. And this game allows you to drive anywhere. It's not like you're on a path. It's not like Cruising USA. It's not like Gran Turismo where you're on a track. Mm-hmm. It's an open world driving game where you're basically being a simulator of being a taxi cab driver, and it's a very
the craziest taxi cab driver you could possibly yes, be.
Yes, you can be a couple different taxi cab drivers. You can be BD Joe, who I don't. What does BD stand for?
I was wondering that myself this morning as I was preparing.
I didn't consider it.
Yeah, I did. I was looking on Steam, and they were talking about how the new version of it isn't the same game.
No, the soundtrack's not the same either. Yeah. So,
and the soundtrack to me is like a big part of the nostalgia for this game.
Offspring in particular. Yeah. But it's Bad Religion and Offspring, but yeah. I specifically remember a certain Offspring's tracks.
I was very into Offspring at the time, so this was my jam.
This was post me being into Offspring, because I was big into Offspring in Smash. Okay. When they had that album out, which was like 94.
Right, yeah.
So this is like after me, but...
Americana was the big album I loved.
I'm pretty sure that Offspring was in like legit the soundtrack of every movie in the late 90s, mm-hmm. early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Like every teen movie.
Yep, exactly.
Like I think of like the movie Idle Hands. I don't know why I was thinking about that recently, but there's definitely an Offspring song in that soundtrack. It's like those American Pie definitely has an Offspring song.
Yeah,
their soundtrack.
10 Things I Hate About You probably does. Yes, I don't know. Maybe. That type of movie.
Yes. All those movies have Offspring in it. But yeah, this game is like when you think of Crazy Taxi, you think of Offspring.
Yep.
In like certain tracks. What else? This game was made for originally the Naomi arcade board, which is kind of interesting. Sega developed an arcade board specifically so that they could make easy ports to Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the Naomi board, and they just would make games on that and then port them to Dreamcast.
Marvel vs. Capcom was a Naomi game.
Oh, it was?
And I know that the big reason I know about this is because for a while the Naomi games were very difficult to emulate. So, I think there were like a Windows-developed Dreamcast games, like Windows CE or something, and then there were the Naomi games. And the Naomi games always came way later as far as getting emulation.
Okay.
We'll be right back. It's very clearly an arcade game that, you know,
I will say too,
became a platform release. And
firing it up, it's very shallow, right?
It's extremely shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can play 5 minutes of the game, and that's representative of the entire game.
Yes. And the console, the Dreamcast version did have a new map, because like original and arcade were different worlds.
Okay.
Or maps or whatever you want to call them. But I played a lot of Crazy Taxi 2 for the Dreamcast, and I think that that was much more of a from the ground up, you know, full console game.
Right.
There were just, there was more depth. There were more features.
It's funny.
Whereas this was clearly an arcade game that they ported to Dreamcast.
It's funny to me. I'm wondering if people really paid $50 for this game back in the day. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because it's literally like two different modes. There's like a
The challenges mode or the club, what was it called?
I can't remember what
whatever
it's called.
Whatever it is. It was,
oh, like box, something box.
Yeah.
Taxi box? No, crazy box.
Crazy box.
Crazy box. The crazy box mode was like specific challenge, driving challenges.
And it's as if someone made those in a weekend.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Sparse.
I was playing this last night, and what I got addicted to was I go in and try to beat my high score, and there's like a records mode where you see like your score and you want to get like a higher. You after every time you run through it, which depending upon which mode you're playing is a certain amount of minutes, and you get minutes for picking up drivers, and you get minutes if you or get seconds if you do it really quickly. You get extra seconds and extra speed if you deliver your passengers to their objective quickly, and you get extra money if you do crazy things. But it's very limited to what it is. It's like either adding time or changing to a second map. But again, I think the big thing here that makes it different from anything that was happening at the time, first off, there was no like taxi
thing. It's not a racing game.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like different.
It's a racing game in that you're trying to beat a certain amount of time to maximize your score, but it's not a regular racing game,
And also Sega did weird things this time with their other racing games, which were very much in a similar vein. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's an ambulance game that is exactly this game.
Oh, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, except you're going out, you're finding patients, and then you're delivering them to a hospital.
Was it also an arcade game?
Yes.
I mean,
it never was a console port.
At this time, they had those big box like arcade machines where it was themed after, you know, whatever you were driving. And I mean, I played this game a whole bunch in the arcade. Both our movie theater and our arcade had a Crazy Taxi machine.
You know what this game reminded me of when I was preparing for the pod here? Part of it is the music, because it's that late 90s, early 2000s, like Offspring style music.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of Tony Hawk.
Like
every time I watch it, because like the whole vibe and like how over the top it is and the crazy music that's blaring. And in Tony Hawk, you can just kind of go anywhere and like you're trying to earn points and do cool tricks.
Right.
And when I was watching this, like there's the passenger in the back, and as you're like going off jumps or like splitting between two cars, they're like jumping out of their seat and extra points or dollars are coming up.
Yeah.
And I was like, this turned into like Tony Hawk at some point. Like this people who played this game probably loved Tony Hawk.
It's like not as
I love
Tony Hawk too. I mean all those games are really good. I feel like this is an extremely shallow version of what Tony Hawk was.
Exactly.
And Tony Hawk had already made three of those games, or made two at least, before this game came out. So
my second thought about this game is that I ended up playing a lot more of Simpsons Road Rage down the line, which obviously borrowed from this game.
Yeah.
And I loved Simpsons Road Rage.
Yeah, so that's a good point about the legacy of this game. I was thinking there's not many games that did something like that, but Simpsons Road Rage was like a direct Crazy Taxi ripoff.
Yeah, they were like, we're gonna port this to the Simpsons world.
Yeah, so. What was your guys' top rank when you guys were playing recently?
I don't know if I ever... I mean, I never wanted to play 10 minutes straight, so I would always play 3 minutes or arcade mode.
Yeah,
but I think like a B
is
what I was able to, I don't know, I don't recall ever getting an A.
Couldn't get higher than a C, unfortunately.
I thought the controls for this game didn't age very well.
But they're very tight. I think they're probably over tight.
Yeah exactly. That's a good way to describe it.
So like you move left.
Yeah, you really move.
And it's funny, left.
I was trying to do the crazy box challenges, and there was one where you had to drift.
Oh yeah,
and I could just not reliably drift.
Yeah, because it's difficult.
Yeah,
it's very difficult.
I think in Crazy Taxi 2, they really refined the controls. They gave you a jump button.
Really?
Yeah, you could jump with your car, which honestly was awesome.
Yeah.
And now we have Rocket League. That's how that became.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like there's the level layout, it could be better. I think it's like designed for arcades. Yeah. The whole game's designed for arcades. It's an arcade game, makes you want to put in more quarters, making you want to... Because there's like certain areas where there'll be like jumps, and then the jumps won't go anywhere. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's definitely for you to lose quarters.
Yeah.
Instead of being more intuitive.
And the arrow is worse than it should be. Like the, the guidance arrow.
There's like one section where a lot of the times for some reason it would spit me out on top of the helipad. Mm-hmm. Then you have to go down the hill to the stadium. Yeah. And the stadium is a hairpin turn, but the arrow follows the road. So it doesn't doesn't always point to where it goes. So you have to go all the way down and around unless you know to like jump off that cliff.
And that's cool from an arcade game perspective, you know, like as you get more experienced with it, you rely less on the, I mean, really they just want you to feed more quarters and get more, experience with the course itself. And
right. And, you know, make give, BD Joe and Gus some money. Mm-hmm. The aesthetic for this game is pretty good. I like that. It's a very late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic, but it's...
Yeah, and it's like set in like Southern California, right?
It's like, I think it's San Francisco.
It's San Francisco. Yeah. Okay. Because it's got that California beach vibe.
Yeah, like it's 90s. It's got the cable car and... Mm-hmm. I don't even...
There's those steep streets. Yeah, it's like San Francisco. Yeah.
Golden Gate Bridge isn't there, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. It's weird. You just, like, make a game about San Francisco and don't have the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, if you have the Golden Gate Bridge, you got to have another place to be that you're going to, you know?
Well, you'd think you'd incorporate that.
Eh. Seems like too much work.
They put the stadium in there.
I guess so.
It's weird.
Yeah. I thought it was neat. I'm trying to think of what other games did this. I don't know if, like, the... do you remember the Rush series, like San Francisco Rush?
Yes.
If like Need for Speed at any point did this, but where they reward you for like driving between, you know, like oncoming traffic and shit like that. It was nice to have like the fair where you'd get points and get boosted.
Well, Burnout does fair. Burnout does that stuff.
Yeah, Burnout, but I think Burnout came later than
later
this game.
Later than that, yeah. I mean, Midnight Club does that, but it's also later.
Yeah.
Midnight Clubs were good games. I like those games.
But, I thought it was a... well at the time executed, you know, execution of this taxi concept.
Yeah. Fun little arcade game.
It's an arcade game.
Throw it on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
My memory of this game also was I was playing Final Fantasy X at the time and I would take breaks and play Crazy Taxi for like 15 minutes and get back into it.
I definitely had this game back in the day and I really wonder if I paid $50 for it.
I think I did.
Yeah. Thinking about that now. Well, you know, I was a kid at that time. Yeah. Money had...
I was not a kid. I was 17.
Yeah,
I think in 1999, I was still impressed by playing a game that I played in the arcades. In my house.
Yeah. I think it was just impressive to have like this whole, to be honest, open world. Because like we take for granted the fact that like every game now is kind of an open world, but you could drive anywhere in this game. Yeah.
And the mode that
you could even drive underwater, and you could pick up fares underwater. Yeah. So
And the original city instead of the arcade city is pretty big compared to the arcade city.
Yeah, and there's like drawbridges and stuff. Yeah. Exactly.
This is like a party game too. Like if you were playing with three people and just like goofing around and passing the controller.
I was doing that with my wife last night. Yeah. We were having a lot of fun. Yeah. So she was real bad at it though.
I don't think it's an easy game.
To
be good at.
No. And I don't know. I don't know you don't even unlock anything if you get like an S rank.
You don't hit anybody when you're driving in Crazy Taxi, but the fact that
you just go through them.
Just go through them. Right. Yeah. But like people just like fleeing in front of you all the time. It's like a little bit, I don't know. It's a little grim.
I like it. So we're entering that portion of our conversation when we talk about where we slot this in on our endless list of games. We have a lot of games on this list. We have 1 through 29 now. We have 29 games on our list. It's unbelievable, but the top 5 currently are The Legend of Zelda, GoldenEye, Final Fantasy IV, Resident Evil, Metroid. The bottom 5 are Pro Wrestling, Paperboy, Contra Hardcore, John Madden Football 93, and Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System. Personally, I think this goes above our bottom 5.
Yeah. I'm looking at
both. Matt just gave me eyes. I can't.
I was gonna say
that wasn't a very radio thing, but he just his eyebrows went way up when I said this goes outside the bottom five.
I think I was gonna say start at Pokemon Snap and go down.
I was also gonna say Pokemon Snap, not necessarily down, but this strikes me as the same type of game.
I think this is kind of a bad game.
It's not a bad game. It's just
I think it's very
an arcade game.
It's an arcade game,
and it's kind of one note, but that's okay.
Well,
the same way Pokemon Snap is. Snap is a more fleshed out game in a weird way.
I think Pokemon Snap's a better game than this.
Do you enjoy playing Pokemon Snap? I say that like I'm incredulous, but thinking about it,
I think Pokemon Snap has a lot more to it.
Has a lot more to offer. There's a lot more like you have to find.
Yeah.
You have to go through stuff.
I think the
whole... Plus it was super cool seeing Pokemon in 3D. At the time.
And like the whole grading system of your photos and shit,
it's more depth of a game.
I think it's a cool mechanic.
I agree.
This is pretty shallow, this game.
I mean, you don't get much more shallower than this. Maybe Pro Wrestling for the NES, that's number 25. It's pretty shallow as well. There's like two buttons.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, I don't know enough about all these bottom dwelling games here. 25 through 29.
The bottom feeders.
It's funny because they're not even that bad of games. They're just are bad. We only have like one really bad game. And it's not even that bad. It's workable, but it's just tedious as fuck. And that's pro wrestling for a Sega Master System.
So Paperboy is 26. And I think Paperboy is a very similar game to Crazy Taxi in that it was an arcade game.
Yep.
There's not a whole lot of depth to it.
There's probably more depth, though.
To Paperboy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. that's the path I'm going down.
What's the beef with Contra Hardcore? Why is that so low?
Super hard.
Super hard?
Yeah, but it probably should not be that low.
I'm wondering that.
Yeah. But,
I think
Crazy Taxi goes above pro wrestling.
Really? So you think it's better than Paperboy? Because I don't know if I do think it's better than Paperboy.
That's a great point. And it's a similar game to Paperboy, so it's a better comparison.
I think we've identified at least an area on the list that it's going to be where Crazy Taxi is.
Where do you think it goes, Matt?
I think right above Paperboy is an accurate ranking because Paperboy is equally shallow, but I think Crazy Taxi offers...
Crazy Taxi is more addictive. You want to keep playing it.
I think you're right. I think the openness and largeness of the world,
I think
is a plus for it.
There's some good points for that.
Soundtrack, I have nostalgia for it more so than Paperboy.
I mean, it seems like somewhere between. I wouldn't put it higher than Pokemon Snap, but I think it does have some a little bit of weight to it, not in the terms of the actual gameplay, but it opened up the open world, and it's an arcade game, and it's an addictive game, and I don't know, I'd put it under Pokemon Snap, but above Paperboy?
I'll yield to you on the pro wrestling
comparison,
but I agree with Steve. I don't think it goes above 24 Pokemon Snap.
I think it goes at 25. We move pro wrestling down one. I think pro wrestling is a good game, but it's important for wrestling games. I think a lot of 16-bit games would copy it, and I think a lot of just wrestling games would copy its format. It also has a good legacy of Fire Pro Wrestling. Those games are still going on, and that basic formula came out of pro wrestling. But the game itself, it's important to have it on this list, but the game itself is not as good a game as Crazy Taxi. And that's what it really comes down to. What do I want to play more? Right. If we comes down to a basic tie, right now, what do I want to play more? And I want to play Crazy Taxi more than I want to play pro wrestling.
I think I do as well.
Yeah. So let's put it as our new number 25 is Crazy Taxi. Crazy Taxi. As our new 25.
We needed one of those in this episode.
I think I already said it a couple times. Okay.
I feel like we said it maybe.
Crazy. Making that crazy money with Crazy Taxi.
There could have been more of the announcer.
Yeah, yeah.
The announcer was cool.
He's like in it, but he's like turned down a lot in the game.
Yeah.
It's real weird. They needed to turn up the volume on his slider.
Does he like pop up when you're making money and doing jumps and tricks?
Like, yeah, crazy. Like something.
And like his time is running out.
Yeah, he's like, we only got 30 seconds to make more money. So yeah, they needed more of that.
Much more of that.
But yeah, so we've got a new number 25. And it avoids the unescapable fate of being in the last five.
And we're up to 30. We're up to 30 on the list.
We're up to 30 on the list. It's a milestone.
Wow.
This is really good. Well, thank you guys for coming on for this episode.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I love talking about bad games.
It's not a bad game.
Yeah.
It's one of the top 30 games on this list.
It is one of... Congratulations, Crazy Taxi. You are a top 20... or top 30 game on this list. You can follow us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. It's So Bad Pod on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. And It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is the email for you to yell at us about how we suck at Crazy Taxi and we're not giving it the respect that it deserves. But again, thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks.
See you
later. Next week, we'll be back.